This week we're thinking about freedom, about ways to freedom. At times, with the help of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor and theologian, who decided to leave the land of the free, the United States, to return to his people in Germany, suffering under Nazi rule, to live out a different kind of freedom. In a sermon in 1932, he had said, "To be free is to be in love, is to be in the truth of God." And now he had to live out that freedom, that love, that truth, which finished in Flossenbürg concentration camp and in his hanging just before the end of the war. There are scores of definitions of freedom, so many assuming it to be a good thing, but some are a snare. There are many freedoms that cancel each other out. The right to self-determination, over against the right to seek the common good by democratic means. Some freedoms are not recognised as freedoms at all. Was the mother of Jesus free when she mourned and wept for her son? Many feel themselves imprisoned by death and bereavement, but others find it a release to give thanksgiving for the life lived. In 1941, President Franklin Roosevelt looked forward to a world founded on four essential freedoms: freedom of speech and expression, freedom of every person to worship God in his or her own way, freedom from want, which meant for him economic understandings which would secure to every nation a healthy peacetime life, freedom from fear, a worldwide reduction in armaments so that no nation will be in a position to commit an act of physical aggression against any neighbour. Jesus, I believe, reduced all these freedoms to one, from which all other right freedoms would follow. "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And that truth, that God is love, and that love is for us and all the world, and that in living in that truth, in love, we know true freedom. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "You were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another." Or as the Revised English Bible has it, "serve one another in love." So for the next few moments, let us think on that truth about freedom, that at its heart must be love. And shall we think how we might use that precious freedom to show God's love. Loving God, fill us with the truth of your love, that being stirred by that love, we may reach out to free those imprisoned by poverty, by despair, by sickness, and by persecution. The kingdom of God is justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, and open in us the gates of your kingdom to be free to love. Freedom is always being denied, challenged, attacked. and sometimes it seems as if the deniers have won. Yet in our lifetime, or at least of anyone who was born after August the 28th in 1963, we have witnessed amazing challenges on behalf of freedom in the United States of America and in Africa, South Africa in particular. Two images stay in my memory as though seeing them yesterday, and watching them as they happened was placed your life in a particular perspective of universal hope and thanksgiving. One was the release of Nelson Mandela, and the other was when the Reverend Martin Luther King, on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington on a hot August afternoon in 1963, made his I Have a Dream speech. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. And some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi, go back to Alabama, go back to South Carolina, go back to Georgia, go back to Louisiana, go back to the slums and ghettos of your northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope, and this is the faith that I go back to in the South. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. And when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing, in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." In 1964, the Civil Rights Acts were passed under Lyndon Johnson. And in 1965, Paul Simon of Simon and Garfunkel wrote, "A Church is Burning." They performed it whilst they were touring, but it was not issued as a record until 1997. I want to play just a part of a performance in the Lincoln Center, New York City, in 1967. The words are on the sheet. Thank you. Just pray. Let us thank God for all who in times past and today work for the liberty and freedom of the oppressed and persecuted. Let us think not only of the famous leaders, Luther King, Mandela, Bonhoeffer, Aung San Suu Kyi, but also the little people, the unknown people, unsung people, who without protection or support, without headlines, or even sometimes anyone caring, courageously work and sacrifice themselves for a cause and for freeing others from oppression. Lord Jesus Christ, who for our sake endured the cross, take away fear from all our lives. Take away any coldness of heart, any unwillingness to suffer for others. Help us to choose the good and refuse the evil, and so to follow the path of Jesus Christ. Amen. The clearest absence of freedom is when someone is imprisoned. There have been many accounts of the horrors of prison, the assaults upon the physical, mental and spiritual well-being of those imprisoned, the hunger, squalor and mental torture of the conditions they have to occupy. I doubt any account has been more moving than Brian Keenan's Unevil Cradling, his account of his 4.5-year imprisonment on the imprisonment by the Islamic Jihad in and around Beirut, largely in solitary confinement. I expect many of you will perhaps know the episode that I want to read now, but it deserves retelling many times. I'm not sure, because I lent my copy and it's not been returned yet, just exactly when this happened, except it happened before he met up with Brian McCarthy. But he was moved from place to place, being hooded whenever his captors were present. And he has reached that point where he feels he's losing his grip on reality and fears that he's going mad. Another day, the shuffling acolyte, his nickname for one of the guards, and I take part in our daily ritual, that long, short walk to the toilet, that same walk back, and I am home again. I don't look any more at the food, knowing its monotony will not change, not even its place on the filthy floor. The door closes, the padlock rattles, and it's over again for another day. With calm, disinterested deliberation, I pull my head from the filthy towel that blinds me and slowly turn to go, like a dog well trained, to its corner, to sit again and wait, forever waiting. I look at this food I know to be the same as it has always been. But wait, my eyes are almost burned by what I see. There's a bowl in front of me that wasn't there before, a brown button bowl, and in it some apricots, some small oranges, some nuts, cherries, a banana. The fruits, the colours, mesmerising me in a quiet rapture that spins through my head. I am entranced by colour. I lift an orange into the flat, filthy hand, palm of my hand, and feel and smell and lick it. The colour orange, the colour, the colour. My God, the colour, orange. Before me is a feast of colour. I feel myself begin to dance slowly. I am intoxicated by the colour. I feel the colour in a quiet, somnambulant rage. Such wonder, such absolute wonder, in such an insignificant fruit. Probably few prisoners have such revelatory experiences, and for Keenan the joy doesn't last, but it gives him hope, it gives all hope. in the words of Michael Main, that there can be human spirits that are imprisoned but not contained, confined but not held captive. Let us pray. Let us pray for all prisoners, guilty or innocent, of whatever misdeed, remembering that all prisoners, even Christ himself, are considered by someone to be guilty of something. So let us also pray for the captors. Shall we say the grace together? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.